This is Microsoft Recap. I think we're at episode 18 now. I think it's 18. What's going on, everybody? This is your host, Mike Baker, and always with me is the host, Mike Bennett. What's going on, Mike? How you feeling?
I'm chilling, man. Just vibing, feeling good. We made it through that serious thunderstorm last night. I got this big tree in the back of my house, and I thought we was going to, it's like the biggest one on the block. I thought we was going to get struck, but everything else, man, seems like it's going pretty good. I'm ready to jump into this technology stuff. Microsoft seems like they got a lot of good juicy stuff going on, so I'm ready, man.
How about you? Man. I'm good, man. Speaking of the rain, I got caught up in the rain last night trying to ride my bike like I was going to be a soldier or something. No, that ain't happening. That didn't go down the way I thought it was. I paid for that one. But man, tech news, man. We are the Microsoft Recap. And if you are a new listener, we talk about Microsoft news and, you know, the industry as a whole. Primarily the latest news, but usually, you know, just informative information. We don't talk about every little thing. We talk about the most pertinent information that we feel like you need to know. And today we have three topics for you. The first topic that we have is about Bill Gates and how he called Microsoft's potential TikTok deal a poison chalice, and said that who knows what's going to happen with it. Whenever he said the poison chalice, like, it reminded me immediately of Joffrey from Game of Thrones. I don't know if you ever see Game of Thrones.
I've not watched an episode of Game of Thrones, man. Well, all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely politics. It's a lot of fighting in there every once in a while, but it's a big politics show. Like back in the day, medieval, but political. Whole bunch of different lands and whatnot. But it always remind me of that when I hear this poison chalice. The next topic that we have is going to be about how Microsoft is integrating Android apps into Windows 10 with the new your phone update. I use your phone a little bit. I used it on my old Android, but then when I switched over to iPhone, it doesn't have the same features as it did for Android. So it's kind of limited by comparison. But now with this new one coming out, apparently you can run full on Android apps with it. That's something I'm more than likely going to get another Android just so I can try that functionality out. And then the last topic that we have is about should Microsoft investors fret over Azure's slowing growth? Azure is Microsoft Azure. I always call it Azure. It's Azure. The Microsoft Cloud people, they always get me on that because I always be like Microsoft Azure. And they'd be like, Azure. I'm like, yo, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Why did they pick that name? I mean, like, like.
You can't spell a word the way that it's defined and then say, no, we don't, like, whatever.
Yeah, like, you're supposed to pronounce it like you're French, I guess. I don't know, and I don't care because I don't use Microsoft Azure personally. I like it. I appreciate it because, you know, you need to have competition in the game, but that's not my number one. But apparently the investors are scared of slow growth, so we're going to talk about that as well. But number one article that we're talking about is about Bill Gates and how he called Microsoft's potential TikTok deal a poison chalice, and how he doesn't really know what's going to happen with that. But particularly is, you know, this whole news that's been going on as of late with Donald Trump and banning TikTok and other apps in the app stores, or banning them from America in particularly. It's big news that's been floating around, and it all stems from the idea of TikTok being a app for the Chinese government to spy on Americans. That's the number one. That's the overall idea of it, is that China is using TikTok to spy on Americans, and they need to stop that by banning TikTok from being available to Americans. So that's been a big deal, and to avoid that from happening, other companies have also been putting in this bid, but basically Donald Trump has been telling them that in order for this to happen, you need to be able to invest well, an American company needs to invest in TikTok and take American ownership of TikTok's security if they're going to be used in America. And Bill Gates basically, you know, he was the original CEO. He's the founder of Microsoft. So, you know, he had to weigh his two cents. He's been in a lot of news in general because he has other dealings with the medical field, with his foundation, and dealing with this whole coronavirus thing that is still happening right now. But in particular, when it comes to TikTok, he's kind of, I guess, both sided about this, like, you know, of two minds, I guess you could say, about the situation, because, you know, being that he is the founder of Microsoft, and you know, he still is technically one of their advisors. He has a lot invested in Microsoft, and one of his things that he mentioned is that technically it is being in social media. He notes here that being in social media, the social media business is not a simple game, and that the idea of getting into it is potentially a good thing for Microsoft, because it allows for Microsoft to be more competitive in a different industry. Because technically, social media, even though it's basically based off of technology, is not just a technology industry. It's social media that uses technology. So for Microsoft, it feels like it's a whole nother industry that they can jump into. But he also has this ideology that is just sort of like, why would we get into this business? Because technically that's not our core business at all. We don't really deal into this type of in social media. They do own LinkedIn. Microsoft is owned by LinkedIn. But LinkedIn isn't necessarily the social network that everybody, you know, that everything else is. It's not Instagram. It's not Facebook. It's not Snapchat. It's not TikTok. This was really for professional purposes. What do you think about this, Mike?
I was gonna throw this fact in there, is that with people, although LinkedIn has a good amount, it's a good social media network, but it's also, out of all of the social media platforms, it's the least used. What was it? She's saying basically, I can't remember. I'm paraphrasing here, but they're saying the users, the amount of time that someone spends on YouTube or Facebook, they spend literally about 50 to 60 times less on LinkedIn.
Right.
Now, you may be on LinkedIn for like a minute, you'll be on YouTube for 60 minutes. That's the ratio. So, but it's neither. I don't know why I decided to share that, but I think too. Well, you know what? No, that's why I was trying to share. Right. I was trying to come back to it. Although, yeah, LinkedIn is good. TikTok, so I was kind of confused with the whole Poison Chalice thing, because I don't know Game of Thrones. I was like, I don't know what this is all about. But after further reading it, I kind of see what he's getting at. But then, too, I look at the moves that Google made, because, you know, the whole thing that Google acquired YouTube. Although you can see the correlation maybe now, back then they weren't directly connected. And Google being a technology company, right? It's hard to really categorize, say, what Google is. I mean, they have a search engine, but they make a lot of money off of ads. But for the sake of saying they're a technology company, be it that they have one of the most predominantly used social media platforms in the world, I can see why Bill would be saying, good old Will would be saying, that it would be a good thing for Microsoft. I just would think, too, that because they don't necessarily live in that land, this could become a situation where, you know, them not, they're just kind of, Microsoft is kind of finding their footing now with creating something that is, I guess, within this, I don't want to say hip, that makes me look old, but what am I trying to say here? Like, TikTok to Microsoft, it could become the next Bing of social media platforms.
Yeah.
If they treat it as like not really paying attention to what the end user is, what the consumer is actually demanding. And I think that's maybe where he could have been coming from. And I can see that. It would be a big shift, because Microsoft primarily makes their money. And you can see in one of the later topics we'll get into, but a lot of their infrastructure of Microsoft seems to be made around accessibility, whether it be, you know, making something available to just the common, the layman, making it available, like, you know, computer, having a computer available to them, or doing something for the government. But they don't really, they haven't had a history of basing a lot of their business into like what makes the user happy or have like the best social experience. So, it's one of those things where they could compete, and, you know, it's a good industry to get into. It's just, they don't really, I don't know. It's a wild card, because I think too, they did kind of jump into that space with the Xbox, right? For a while, it was, you know, Sega had kind of was phasing out. Nintendo, I guess, was on the brink of acquiring a lot of Sega stuff. Then you had PlayStation, of course, they burst on the scene and kind of took over everything. And then, so for a while, it was like a PlayStation. Then they had to, did the Dreamcast come out before Xbox? I can't remember.
I think I want to say Dreamcast came out in 99.
I think it was at that time, the three, it was like the N64, the Dreamcast, and then the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Right? And then so.
It was like Dreamcast came out right before the PlayStation 2 came out.
That's what it was. Okay. Because what I'm getting at is that when it comes to things like this, where it takes a lot of this, it's like entertainment. Microsoft has maybe, it had some, you know, if you want to use the Xbox part of that business as, you know, something that's good to speak to, I think they may be able to survive or acquire something that's primarily based on entertainment that can benefit the company. I just don't know, when it comes to social media, do they have a lot of like expertise in that, and it could become just a waste of money.
that's the thing that I'm probably thinking about as well. Like I think it could potentially be a loss for them than a gain. I was seeing somewhere, one of the things that they were talking about was that if they were to buy them, it was a high probability that they would try to maneuver TikTok to be more toward their enterprise efforts, because, you know, Microsoft is big on enterprise. They're big on on business stuff, you know, having workstations and making it email and stuff like that, making it so that you'd be more productive in the office. But they really don't know, they don't really have much for your home entertainment besides Xbox. That's the home console. But in that in between, when that whole social media era, the whole mobile phone era, they really don't have anything. They tried to compete with Twitch and YouTube with Mixer. Mixer was there, was Microsoft's, and they just shut down Mixer like, I want to say, 2 months ago.
Wow.
And that was supposed to be their streaming competitor, so that they can, you know, offer streaming to the masses. And they were going to try to integrate it with Xbox and, you know, allow for people to stream through the Xbox. They actually gave, what was that gamer, Ninja? They gave Ninja $7 million so that he would transition from Twitch to be exclusively on Mixer. And then they killed Mixer. So, I mean, I could see
that. Cashed out $7 million.
Yeah, he cashed out $7 million because he ain't got to give it back. He got that money and he moved back to YouTube and Twitch or whatever. But I mean, that's...
took all the videos and said re-upload.
Right, exactly. Re-upload right over to there. Make sure I can get this ad money. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be exclusively over the Mixer. I didn't know that he was going to flop. I mean, like, that's the same thing could potentially happen to TikTok, where once Microsoft gets it, they basically strip it down of all its core tech. I mean, all the stuff that makes it great, and try to strip it down and put it into something else. That's the thing that I think is going to happen. What could happen is TikTok, you know, starts adopting all of the Instagram features, starts adopting all the Snapchat features, and, you know, starts becoming the next Facebook. But I doubt that would happen. Like, they have to have that, like you say, they have to have those, that skill. They need those people with that type of knowledge about how social networks work. Because, like I said, technically social networks are beyond just the tech. They use the tech, but it's about the people. And that's you got to be able to keep the people entertained and keep the people socialized and engaged. And I don't think Microsoft knows about that business. Yeah,
if it's anything close to that, remember that video?
Exactly. Like that musical, Glee musical, like for a commercial out of nowhere, try to talk about how good Microsoft Office is. Like, yo, what is this?
Yeah, this is wild. If they talking about, I know you said earlier, they're trying to see how they can make it into an enterprise application. Like, bro, they wilding. If they go that route, TikTok, it's gonna be a loss for them, and TikTok will be soon following behind Mixer. Like that's way.
Like the only thing I could see is if they do not touch TikTok at all and just allow TikTok developers to keep creating TikTok the way that they are creating it, just keep letting it ramp up. And just make sure it follows the laws. But as long as they don't touch it at all, the only thing I can see them actually making money from is, you know, once they become a partner, then, you know, advertisement has to come into play because TikTok got to make money, because I don't think TikTok really making money right now. TikTok is losing money, but it's gaining followers. So, right. Like, the way that they're going to make their money is through advertisement, similar to any, you know, Instagram. When you flip through the stories, every couple flips, you get an ad. More than likely, TikTok will become part of Microsoft's ad network. And at that point, they'll start generating money off of it, and it could be beneficial to them. They'll tie all of the back end of TikTok into Microsoft Azure so that it works with Azure. So that it's all tied to Azure. And then it could become something. But if they actually try to change the core thing and change what it really is, I don't see that thing actually surviving next 2 years for real. It's gonna be like Snapchat, where like it had a billion people initially, then it dropped down to like 10. Yeah, I mean, and nobody uses it anymore because everybody
just comes. Wait, hold on. They had a billion users. Now they what? Is it 10 million?
I don't think they was at a billion, but they was climbing. They was over 500 million users. And that dropped severely. Yeah, that's, I mean, after Instagram took the stories, because it wasn't just Instagram that took stories. Like Instagram took stories, Facebook integrated stories, Messenger got stories.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, WhatsApp got stories. All of the Facebook properties got stories now. And then even if you go to Google, you go to YouTube, they got stories on YouTube.
They got the joint now too, yeah. What's so crazy about that, bro, is like, because YouTube is crazy. YouTube is owned by Google and they have their functionality now. And I will always bring this up, man. I said this, I think, in the last show. This is what we just did. Yeah. Bro, like Snapchat had a $30 billion, that's what it'd be, $30 billion deal with Google on the table and turned it down.
Yeah, because they were evaluated at $30 billion.
Yo, and they turned it, and now they don't even, they have what, close to what, barely 20 million? Like, yo, that app, that's,
yeah, I don't know. And the reason of that is because, I mean, look at all the potential what TikTok is now. Like, they were planning on being what TikTok is now. They were planning on being that. So they were evaluated to be, like you said, $30 billion, because it was a plan to do all that stuff, but Facebook just took all their stuff, took all the core function, took all the things that made Snapchat. And even like Snapchat is built off of Google Cloud. They probably have integration with AWS now and probably some stuff from Microsoft. But I remember when I went to the 2017 conference, they were saying that like, over the 5 year period from 2017 until now, they invested $2 billion into Google Cloud's platform. Wow. So, like, you got $2 billion worth of stuff, but if you ain't able to pay that $2 billion, and you got in a partnership with Google, Google's going to start taking your stuff,
right?
Because you got to be able to pay up.
Yeah, you got to pay the piper, man.
Yeah, and you ain't paying. So if your product ain't paying and you ain't paying, then I guess we got to make some money off of your stuff somehow.
That's my product, man.
That's my TV. That's my sofa. I'm gonna sell this until you got my money. You got my money.
House? You paying for it and you can't pay for it no more. Well, guess what? It's the banks now. It's the same concept.
Right, exactly. Like you even go to the Google Photos app, they got stories in there. Yeah, I mean, and now all I do is collect your photos and your videos. They just create stories off of AI. They don't even have no people. You don't go in there and create stories yourself. Yeah. They just create stories for you. I mean, like that's how simple it was, just to take all of the stuff that whoever, I can't even remember this, like David Spiegel. I think David Spiegel is another guy, one of my coworkers or somebody that I work with. But Spiegel is the guy that created Snapchat, and he probably thought he had a diamond on him. He thought that nobody could touch it, and they are ripping it, taking every piece of it.
I say this, man, like, as we transition, like, I think the only thing that can come from this deal, not looking at it from Microsoft's stance, but for the people who created TikTok, they better hop on it now, because it seems like the common trend when it comes to social media stuff is like, if you ain't bought out, you're going to be optimized or programmed out. That's how it is.
Right.
So it's like they better sell that, or that functionality going to be coming to a social media platform near you. That's what it says.
All right. We beat that to the dead. The next topic that we got is about Microsoft integrating Android apps into Windows 10. And this is something that's pretty interesting to me. So Microsoft has been adopting a lot of Google features, a lot of Google tech lately. Everybody knows, well, not everybody, but a lot of people know about how Microsoft Edge is basically a copy of Chrome. Even before that, like Microsoft has a new phone coming out, what they call the Surface Duo and the Surface Neo, that are going to be using Android only. There's just going to be an Android platform. So, you know, they're stripping down and taking out every piece of Android, seeing all the parts of it, because it's open source. And you can see some of the fruits of that is because now they're allowing for this Your Phone app, not only just to connect to your phone, to your computer, so that you can like send text messages and see notifications, but now you can just run full on applications from Windows. You essentially are tying your phone. You're essentially using your app through your phone, through your computer. You're using your phone through your computer. So with that software, with that Your Phone app, it's all installed on Windows. If you have a Windows computer, you have Your Phone already on it. You probably got to update it to use this new feature, but the Your Phone app application is already on Windows 10. But essentially, once you connect it to your phone, you essentially will have the ability to, whatever app you have on your phone, you can just run that app in a window on your computer, just in a separate window in the side corner. If you're working on your laptop, you're writing up a document, you're looking at a browser page or something like that, you can just have a window on the side, and that side can basically be your computer, your phone. You don't even have to touch your phone. Your phone can be charging somewhere while you're still using your phone without having to get up and get your phone. I'm just saying, that's great. I want your opinion. What's going on?
I look at it. So this goes back to like what we've been talking about, man, this tech cold war that's going on in this decade. Like I look at this as a way to, so you can say it's like they are emulating Google's like functionality, but what sticks out to me is because my girl, she has a Mac, and what happens all the time, it's like connected. Whenever she gets a message from somebody, it pops up on her laptop, whatever the case is, so she able to respond. I think that by them doing this, they're taking that framework of like integrating the person's phone, of being able to like receive messages and chat and all that stuff like that, that what the Mac does. They're taking that, but then like multiplying that times 10. Like you're not only just able to do that stuff as far as like do your messaging or maybe even take a call, but now you can, if you want, play games, I think, even on your phone. Like play games on your PlayStation. Play games on your computer that's on your personal phone. So I think really now we just was talking about all of the stuff that maybe the social media moves is kind of iffy that they're making, but I think this is actually an excellent move for them. This really it really speaks to their prowess in knowing how to adapt when it comes to, again, the accessibility features. Like this is where Microsoft, I think, where they shines the most. And it's just it's an example here of taking something that would seem like, you know, I'm pretty sure people have thought about this numerous times and maybe even tried it, but Microsoft, by them doing this, they've just executed on it so well that now it's almost like they are, if they keep it up and they brand it right, they almost seem like the originators of this type of idea, this app functionality. So,
Chrome, Google Chrome does this already. It does it a little bit differently. Like you can run with Chrome OS, if you got a Chromebook, you can straight up install Android apps onto Chrome. So you don't even necessarily need your phone with you. You can just run the apps on there. And when it comes to things like notifications and text messages and stuff like that, that integrates. If you have an Android phone and you have a Chromebook, those two integrate already. So those features already exist for Chrome, but you know, with Chrome isn't the largest user base. I mean, like a lot of people still don't use Chromebooks. Like people use Chrome browser, but not a lot of people actually buy Chromebooks. It's like a couple million, a lot of students, but not everybody use a Chromebook. But basically anybody that doesn't buy a Mac but still needs a laptop has a Windows computer. So, I mean, you have way more reach in the Windows world, being able to get to a lot of people. And in the Windows world, this doesn't work like how it does on Chrome, where in a Chromebook, you can install the app directly. Here, you still got you essentially got a window. It's still your phone, technically. You still controlling your phone remotely. Like you can load this up on your computer, put it in a corner, start moving around, and you can get your phone and look at it, and you'll see that it's moving around because you're essentially remoting into your phone. And it allows, it's a great functionality. It's a great feature. There was a couple of apps that allow you to remote into your phone, but they weren't as fluid as you can assume that Microsoft is going to be, because you know Microsoft got the backing to make it a fluid application. This is like a good implementation. Like when it comes to what's the best implementation so far, yeah, Microsoft probably got this because nobody else is. Yeah, like you can't install iOS apps on a Mac OS. Like that just can't happen, and there's no way that you can remotely control your phone from your Mac OS unless you pay some other app developer a couple $20, $30 for the app that allows you to do that.
You think it's
just Apple. All this money I spent, you should allow me to do certain things.
All right, it's like for Apple to have the indoctrination. They have the cult following they have. You think that they would have, you know, the whole idea that there's iOS and then Mac OS is separate things is just beyond me. But again, I look at it as, you know, with Microsoft, they just, you know, taking the bull by the horns and, you know, jumping in on this opportunity. I mean, it's something that it's probably been in the talks for some time. But again, like you said, with the backing they have and the execution that Microsoft tends to have when it comes to things like this. I mean, I think that Microsoft is one of those companies that, and what I can appreciate about it is that they are very like all like 0 or 100, like they're all the way in or they're like not in at all. And then whatever the result is, you know, they deal with it. Right. So I know they had that issue. Again, we were talking about it, that they had that flop with the Windows phone. You know, that happened, you know what I mean? But this seemed like they had the commercials and all this stuff going, it just didn't hit. So I think where they're gonna win, why this is a win for them, and this is something that's definitely gonna put them ahead of the curve for everybody, is that they've just firmly executed on this idea that now we already look at it like our phones, and I said this in the previous show where we use our phones. It's a smartphone, but we don't even make as many calls as we use for other things. It's like what they're doing here is maybe finding a way to integrate that same ideology into the PC, where maybe you'll be making calls or something like that, like from coming in, like cellular calls or something like that from your PC now. But yeah, I just think I want to see where this is going to go, and they may be on the brink of something like really big happening here.
I think they're doing this because they're trying to get everything ready for the new phones that they got coming out, because they got that Surface Neo. It's only the Surface Neo that's coming out. They only got one phone that's coming out, and that phone looks slick, and it's the only reason that it's slick is because it's a two-screened phone. I mean, it's like a miniature book, a 5-inch book that you open up. It turns into two phones, two screens, similar to like the Samsung folded screen that they got, except they're not using folding LED. They're not using that like folding screen technology. They just got two separate screens. But that's going to be running Android. And since it's going to be running Android, they got to make sure that it's compatible with Windows as much as possible. So I think they just doing this to get in early. And, you know, it gets everybody else that already has a different type of Android phone as well. But when that phone come out, I think it's probably getting late because of COVID and all that. But when that do come out, that's going to be a game changer. I think they probably, because the way that it looks, the cleanliness of it, without it looking like it's janky at all, that probably will change the way a lot of people come out with new phones after this actually releases.
Yeah, I completely forgot all about that, man. I think that now, you know, they learned from their mistakes. Like I said, they went all in, they learned from their mistakes. And because of how big the company is, I feel like it's only inevitable that they have like their footprint in these industries. So by them, I guess, focusing on the user experience definitely makes it much more easier for them to. I think in the past, when they did the whole phone thing, it was just based off of them. I think it was based off of the physical like technology rather than the software, right? So with them, I guess, providing this type of software experience, it makes it easier for them just to wiggle their way into this industry. And who knows what's to come? Yeah,
that the old Windows Mobile was just like, even the one before Windows Phone, the Windows Mobile stuff was just basically Windows on a small computer. It wasn't meant for phones. It was meant for a desktop. They just miniaturized it. The last article that we got talking that we're going to be talking about is going to be should Microsoft investors fret over Azure's. I always stop when I say it because I want to say Azure.
I'm going to keep saying Azure, man. Ain't going to tell me what I
said. will they keep fighting over? Will they fret over Azure's slowing growth? The subhead reads that Microsoft's cloud infrastructure platform generated 50% sales growth during the first quarter or during the quarter. But that growth didn't satisfy some investors. Basically, this is just really trying to figure out where do they think that Microsoft is going to be going over the next couple of years with the Azure cloud. Microsoft was probably the last company to come into the cloud game. Amazon, AWS was probably the first that everybody knew about. Google Cloud, I want to say, was second. But they also have like Alibaba, which is like a cloud in China that a lot of people use in China. It's like one of the most dominant next to AWS. But then after that was Microsoft Azure. And Azure picked up pretty quickly because Azure already had the market share. Microsoft already had the market share. A lot of people already have Microsoft on-premise servers. They're running Windows Server 2012, 2016, 2020. I don't even know if it's 2020 out, but they're running all these diff. They've already been running Windows servers since Windows servers came out back in Windows 2000. So like they've been running servers already for 20 years. They just never had Microsoft actually selling them the servers themselves and like the physical machines themselves. And now that they are in the actual game of running, of selling them the actual machines and running data centers, the clients that already used to run Windows Server immediately jumped onto Microsoft Azure because it was an easy step. It was an easy transition. They didn't have to learn anything new because Microsoft knew everything that they already needed to know. So it was an easy transition for them. So Microsoft became like the second place runner. It was like AWS and then Microsoft and then Google as third place. Yeah, Google was third place basically, even though they were like the second to come up. They've technically maintained the third place position, but that's neither here nor there. like if you running these things, being first, second, and third, you definitely gonna always be jumping back and forth between first, second, and third if it's a consistent race. The race isn't over. So, I mean, they're going to be running back and forth. What do you think about it, Mike?
I think that for just going off of people being afraid about the growth, like you said, they are already in a position where they have a lot of staying power. Like what where a lot of companies, especially trying to get into a new industry, struggle is trying to get out of scarcity, right? Just a little bit of business logic and stuff like that. But the fact that Microsoft, like you said, already had the market share, it's like rather than trying to create the branding and do all this stuff, like they just had to come up with something and then offer that service, and then it became a thing. So I know with the numbers, I know they say men lie, women lie, numbers don't, right? And of course, it shows on here the projection and like what the numbers are right now. And they said down here, as far as the zero revenue is down to just 50% in Q4 for 2020. All that just sounds like is if they do a couple of advertising and then a couple of deals, it'll be right back up to where it's supposed to be. It's not like it went from 61% to 15%. I think when it's a drop like that, investors have a little bit. Some people who are aggressive and maybe are involved in the development of these companies will still look at a drop like that as not a big deal or something they can recover from. But I think then it'll be like a red flag sent them. But just to that, like you said, the switching back and forth between first, second, and third, I mean, it's not really anything to, you know, get your panties in a bunch about for the investors. That I'm not an investor, not at that level yet, but it's not like they went from the second place to the 20th place. Mm-hmm. It's not even, I think for all the people that's in this industry, that's really have a footprint in the industry, it's not too many people there. I mean, you have Amazon, you have AWS. I know Netflix got a little something going on, Google, Microsoft, and I think I'm missing somebody. But other than that, that's pretty much who's in the run. Like, that's the top five, top six, whoever the person that company I forgot about. So, I mean, as long as, again,
Alibaba.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Like I said, I keep throwing it in there, but they're technically a Chinese organized. They're a Chinese company. A lot of people in America probably aren't buying their cloud services from Alibaba, but yeah, technically they are they're one of the tops. I know.
They have a world market share, so I get it.
Yeah. The world market share, like for the investors, man, they probably like. They always, you know, they deal stuff day to day, and like, you know, they buying and selling within the same day, within the same hour. 1 hour they buying, 1 hour they selling once they hear some news and stuff like that. And a lot of their stuff is based on rumors and, you know, trying to find the info about what one executive say to another that could potentially trickle down to $1 million, $1 billion deal. Mm-hmm. And like that's basically where they gamble all their bets. It's basically like gambling where they got to listen to the news to find out what's going to happen. Now they're trying to talk to the insiders to find out what's happening. And I mean, if it's not a good investment, if your investment is based on one of three companies, and if one of those three are going to lose, then you end up losing millions of dollars. That's not a good investment for you to be in it anyway. If you're that scared about your investment with this company where it could die, where you feel like one wrong mistake and the whole thing is over, then that's probably not a good investment to be in anyway. You need to be in an investment somewhere. Go to penny stocks or something. I don't know. watch The Wolf of Wall Street or something. If you don't understand like that, you need to make some solid investment, especially if you like one of those mutual funds or something like that, where you got groups of other people's money and like you're investing for a large percentage of people. Like, you need to invest in safe stock. And if you don't feel like Microsoft is a safe stock, then you need to probably invest in something that's not in tech. Like, cause that's just what the business that it is. And like, you're not investing in a short turnover. You're investing in a long-term 10-year, 20-year play. And I don't see Azure dying out anytime soon, because Microsoft hasn't died out yet. Like, even though, like, as many years as people have been trying to get people to use Linux, Microsoft has still been one of the top servers. When it comes to, like, web services, yeah, maybe Linux is great in a web service space, but in the overall like office infrastructure, a lot of these IT people need lists and user interfaces, and they need Active Directory, and they need like Outlook, and like I don't know how many times I've tried to transition somebody to G Suite and they will not connect. Yeah, I mean, like it's like Microsoft has a lock on people because they've had a lock on people for a good, like the article says that they've been around for 45 years. For 45 years, like they've had dominance to be able to claim their stakeholders. So people aren't just gonna jump off the ship. So if you're an investor and you think and you're scared and you got to pull out quick because you think Microsoft is going to jump, like you just don't need to be in the business of investing because Microsoft has been around for 45 years. They probably going to be around for another 45 years.
For how much the industry has changed within technology, like you said, so computing like digital computing, I guess has been around concretely for maybe we'll be in 2020 for. You could say 70 years, right? Maybe like 1950.
Well, the digital, since the transistor. So like sometime in the 60s, once they created the microprocessor, then we started having these computers.
Right. So soon after that, like you got to think for people who are investing in of course they may have all the investing info and probably a school meal, some things, but just looking at it, we're just using common sense here is that Microsoft has pretty much been around as long as digital computing has been around. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Like it's so any type of like footprint they have within the industry, it's solidified, be it that they're pretty much a part of society now. It's not even, you know, they're not some company that's came up and I guess that's the difference between like a Microsoft and a Google or a Microsoft and all these other companies who become billion-dollar companies, but it's like Microsoft has staying power, be it that, again, it goes back to the accessibility, like the providing like accessibility and stuff like that, the different things. And like what you're just saying, you don't really hear the functionality of being able to have a general login and password throughout all of the all of the apps and places you have to log in. Like you don't hear that from other companies except for when you're using like Microsoft technology. So and how that translates to what's going on here with Azure, I'm not saying what you say, Azure. It just makes it like for them to look at it as somewhat of a negative thing that it's that the revenue has dropped, or you know, that like you said, the sales is down to like 50%. You got to understand one, the technology is as volatile like that, but although technology being a volatile industry, that this company has had a lot of staying power in an industry that's as volatile as this. So, if I was an investor, I would still, you know, it wouldn't change anything for me. My money would still be where it's going to be at because Microsoft is not going anywhere. Again, they've already had they probably have some other market share that they haven't tapped into that. You know, would come time Christmas or whatever is going on, if you want to make it more consumer driven, they can just tap into that and it'll be right back up.
I mean, they're about to get in the social media business apparently. So, I mean, you never know with these companies, man. I mean, like it's just craziness that they do that. But that's the nature of the investment industry. A lot of them just playing the short game, and a lot of them are playing a good couple are playing long-term investments. And I mean, if you're trying to play the short game and just be in and out, try to make a quick turnaround and then hop out and then jump into the next game on the other side, then, I mean, yeah, you probably should just hop out because that's just what you're going to do anyway. Like, that's just your business. You just hop in and out of shit. But if you understand the business, it's going to be a long-term investment before you ever actually see a real negative decline. Like, you'll notice when Microsoft is starting to go down. That ain't happening yet. They on the top. They on the rise right now. They still one of the top.
I still feel like they part of the big three for this decade, man. It's Microsoft, Google, and Apple.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Amazon's somewhat in there, but I mean, they started off as they like the online Walmart per se. When we talk about tech stuff, it's Microsoft, Google, and Apple. And it's like they ain't going to be going away for the next 20 years.
And the bigger thing, like, I think I was just thinking, like, Microsoft sells all this stuff. Like the issue, one of the issues with Google and Facebook is that most of their money is off of advertisements. They get their money off of advertisements, and that means that it's coming from them collecting data. Microsoft can make money without having to collect y'all data. They've been able to make money off of just selling a product and not having to worry about collecting data. Now, if they add on collecting data, that'll be a thing. They haven't been as successful with it. So it never really been a thing for them. They've been able to make money off of just coming up with a product or coming up with a service and selling that service without having to say, we're gonna make it free and we're gonna make our money off of ads. And depending on how well the ad business does, that's how profitable we are. You can see a definitive line and be like, somebody bought this thing from me. And that's how I make my money, and that's why they stay solid. But that's it for the show. It's getting dark here. I'm getting able to see my background. It's light outside, but it's been pretty dark here. But that's our show. If you like the show, go check out the website, Bohemia Media. Go ahead and subscribe to us. Check us out on YouTube. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on all the social media platforms. We're on all the podcasting platforms. So you can definitely find us there. Just Google us. Or Bing us, or ask Siri, she'll find us. Yeah, I mean, don't go to Yahoo.
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves. What was that one with the dog? What was the one? Lycos. Ask Lycos. See if they still around. Yeah, don't ask them, y'all. They probably take you to like some porn site or something. Yeah, use a trusted search engine, reliable source. You can find us on all of those. And like I said, subscribe, share, comment. We like your comments. That gives us the feedback to know what we're going to do and how we should do it. Definitely check us out and tell a friend to tell a friend that it's us again. What's going on, Mike?
I was actually looking in there and I didn't take notice of you said. I'm like, you're like, you about to start telling the scary movie in there, man. It's about to creep out your closet over there, man.
They don't want no troubles.
I got a little thing on me. They better not creep me.
You want to see me go viral and beating the shit out of somebody broke into my house, bro? Let them try.
On a serious note, y'all, yeah, just like what Mike said, I echo his sentiments, man. Just like, comment, subscribe, follow us wherever you can follow us, and make sure you leave your comments, good, bad, or indifferent. We appreciate it, and anything that we can improve on, we'll learn. For all the haters, thank you as well. But just continue to keep up with what we got going on over here. You can find us at bohemia.media. That's our personal platform. We're building it up, and we got more hot stuff for the streets coming your way. So that's all I got.
Okay, man. Y'all take it easy out there. Y'all be safe. And just watch out, because somebody coming for y'all.
Wear your mask and all that, man. You'll catch the COVID.
Yeah.